Years ago, I was reading a book by Warren Wiersbe, and he made the statement. He said, it's always too soon to quit. Amen. And that the attitude of the believer? We heard what our Lord said, didn't we? He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about this last principle of outreach we did, friend and family. And then Sunday night, we talked about the other principle of wonder and witness. And tonight, I'm going to talk about divine appointment and desire. You see, I believe as we reach out, we got to put our confidence in two things. Here they are. Number one, there are people who truly do have a desire for the truth. They don't know it. They don't know what the truth is, but they have a desire. And second thing we can put our confidence in is if we have a willing heart, God will set up a divine appointment for us to share with people that have a desire for the things of God. He'll do that. And we're going to pause in prayer. I'm going to move rapidly through this first part because at the end I want to share some a little bit of practical instruction for on Saturday when we go door to door. So in advance, I appreciate your attention. We'll move at a rapid pace once we get started here. But let's pause and bow our hearts for prayer. Father, I thank you for your people. And I thank you, Lord, that they have heard, Lord, your call to reach others that are still in darkness. Lord, I pray you do a work of the Spirit, Lord, not only through the teaching tonight, but, oh God, through the rest of the week in our hearts. Prepare us to reach out. Give us an eagerness, an anticipation, and, Lord, a belief, God, in these two things, that there are people hungering. And not only that, God, you'll set up a divine appointment with them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to use as my illustration tonight the woman at the well. Isn't that a great story? Amen. We may not have public wells anymore, but there's still people in her position that's hungry for the truth. When I was yet in Bible school, we'd work hard all week, get money to go back, but I had a friend of mine from the same town. Friday night was, it was time to go to the city. For non-Okies, that's Oklahoma City. But time to go to the city, and it was about 35 miles away. We'd go up there and eat a big steak and finish it off with a Brahms banana split and then spend some time in the Christian bookstore and to make it all spiritual. No, truthfully, it's what we'd do. And then we'd head home, and it was about a 40-minute drive, but we have Interstate 40. And one night, on a Friday night, for some reason we got to talking, and we said, you know, let's not go back to Interstate. That's the easy way. You don't have to stop and go through the little towns. Let's take this back highway, 66. That might ring a bell, too. Let's take the back highway. And so we did, and we were between towns on that two-lane road out in the dark, and a man was hitchhiking going the opposite direction. And something struck my heart, and I said, I think we ought to pick him up. Now, look, this illustration isn't to encourage picking up hitchhikers, okay? But something in my heart said, we ought to pick him up. He's going the opposite direction. Think about that. We got to stop and pick him up. So I pulled over to the side. He came up, and he got in the back seat. And I could tell he was real troubled, and so I just pulled over in the shoulder, and I asked him what was going on. And he said, well, I was headed to such and such house, had some kind of breakup with his girlfriend, and it was the other guy. He said, I've got a gun with me, and you could see it in his pocket. And he said, I was on my way to kill him. And I don't know why I came over to your car. And I said, well, I've got an indication why. I said, I want to tell you about Jesus and how he can change your life. And we began to share with him the gospel of Christ, and he began to weep and cry. And I said, would you like to pray? He said, I sure would. And we began to pray with him for salvation, and God was moving in that car. And then there's a tap on the window. It's the highway patrol. And try to explain to the highway patrol what's going on in the car. But I shared that illustration because I believe that night God set up a divine appointment where we could share the gospel with somebody that had a desire for reality and truth. I believe God does that. I believe this story of the woman at the well shows us how he does that. And if you'll just please stay with me, because instead of telling the story, I would just want to read it here. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, It wasn't Jesus himself, his disciples. Verse 3, that he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, what I want you to know is, first of all, this phrase here, he must needs go through Samaria. Some people have tried to take any spiritual impact out of that verse and say that's just geographically speaking. That's the topography. When Jesus leaves Judea to go to Galilee, he just has to go through that part of the country. But that's not true. There were other roads. And the point is, most Jews would have circumvented this Samaria because they didn't want to defile themselves with those Samaritans. So when it says he must needs go through Samaria, I don't think it's talking about the necessity of geography or the atlas. I think it's saying that he felt an inward compulsion, an inward leading. You've got to go through Samaria. And I think he felt that way because God was setting up, the Father was setting up a divine appointment for one woman so Christ could meet her and change her life. And not only her life, but the whole village. This meeting was not by accident or coincidence. It was divinely arranged. Divinely arranged. So he came to this place, and there is going to be the woman, and as Jesus waits for her at the well. So the first point I want to make tonight, we must believe this as we go out and door to door, or as you call, or as you write friends to ask them. God does set up divine appointments for each one of us to share the gospel in your life, in my life. Now, here's a little caveat, and I'm not going to get to it, if we're looking for them. See, you've got to be looking for these opportunities. But what we must believe is God will set up, arrange divinely, an opportunity for us to share the gospel. I mentioned it briefly Sunday night, but one time a guy in a real flashy sports car ran out of gas and had coasted into the parking lot, and I had a gas can and got to talking with him, invited him to church. He and his girlfriend came and got saved and spent a period of time here in the church. Did he just run out of gas? Well, you can believe that if you believe in a world without God, but I don't think he just ran out of gas. I think God arranged a divine appointment where he could hear the gospel. Now, when he got there to that village of Sychar, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's 12 noon, according to our rendering. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, you don't know how hard this is for me not to comment on all this about Jesus, his humanity, and yet his deity, and how he's weary and thirsty and all that. I can't get into that tonight. It's just something to sit with all and think about our Lord being thirsty and weary and all this. But he wasn't just sitting on the well because he was thirsty and needing a drink from it. He was sitting on that well waiting for that lady to come at 12 noon. Now, you got to understand something. 12 noon is not the time the women came to the well to get the water. They came early in the morning or late in the evening. She came at noon to avoid the gossiping, wagging tongues. She had lived such a life. She had such a reputation. She knew if she came with the other women, she would get mockery and ridicule and be made fun of. So she came at 12 noon. Who knew this lady, except those in the village, who knew that she would not be coming at the well at the usual time? She'd be coming at an odd time, at 12 noon. Who knew that? God knew that. Jesus knew that. And when she comes at that odd, irregular time to get her water, there Jesus was, right there on the well to encounter her. How many remembers the time when Jesus positioned himself in your path, in your life? Doesn't he know how to do that? And that was a tremendous time, a tremendous time. God arranged that this lady's and his son's paths intersected that day. And we have to believe that when we go out. The time of day this woman visited, as I just mentioned, is significant. It also allowed for Jesus to share the gospel with this woman uninterrupted. Now, I told you she came to the well so the other women wouldn't be there, but notice in God's divine arrangement, it's also a time where she's alone. There's not the interruption or the distraction of the other ladies. It's still a public place. Jesus would never do anything unethical, but she's alone at the well. And what an opportunity to share the gospel. God knows how to arrange these things. You can see it. Jesus saith to her, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Yes, Jesus was really thirsty. And again, I can't get into that. But it wasn't just give me to drink because he was thirsty. He knew a way to get into her world. He was bridging the gap between himself and her. He was entering her world. He said, give me to drink. He could have done it a lot of ways, but he knew what he was doing. He was entering her world. His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And again, I'd like to go into the history of that and all that, but the Jews just felt like these Samaritans just could not be the people of God, and they were half-breeds and all of this, and just such prejudice and discrimination. And she says, how is it that you are a Jew would even take the ladle or the pail from my hand and drink water drawn by a Samaritan? She was amazed that Jesus would even talk with her. You know, sometimes Christians are thinking they would never like to hear the gospel. They might be surprised at some folks that would be completely taken back that you would care enough to share with them. Amen? I also want you to notice here, she brought up this issue of Jews and Samaritans. That was a political, religious argument and discrimination. But Jesus did not get sidetracked into the racial issue. Now, I just want to say real quickly here, I mentioned theological debates and stuff Sunday night, but especially in our climate of America, one of the things folks will try to do is to pull you into some kind of political debate. And she did this, really. She wanted to bring up the race issue. And people in America like to bring up the political issue. But when we're out to share the gospel, we're not promoting a political candidate. Politics has no place in our talking. Amen. When we're sharing the gospel, we're sharing Jesus Christ. We're living a time. Now, listen, I don't have time to get into this. You've heard me enough to understand what I'm saying. But the church's goal is not to push particular candidates and politic and all. The church's role, I'm not talking about the individual believer, the church's role is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we cannot be deterred and we cannot be distracted by any other issue. And I'm not talking about moral issues, I'm talking about sharing the gospel. Jesus answered and said to her, he's not distracted. Don't you love this? If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. So he's got into the world, give me to drink, and now he's bridging the gap between the physical world and the spiritual world. He said, you know, we're talking about water here, but I also have a water to give. And if you just knew who it was, I'm more than a Jew. You're worried because I'm a Jew, but I'm more than a Jew. And if you just knew who I was, you would ask. If you knew what God was willing to give, you would ask, and I would give you living water. She knew he was talking about water other than what was in the well. People would love to know that there's something other than what's in their life. Jesus used the context of the water to talk to her about her spiritual thirst. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living that living water? He carried it with him. It came from himself. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And again, the woman's trying to divert Christ. She's trying to divert him from the issue of her need to talk about history. She's even doubting this thing called the living water. Let's talk about Jacob. Let's talk about history. But again, Christ would not be diverted. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up, an artesian, into eternal life. And I must go on with the thrust of what I'm sharing tonight, but I just feel prompted in my heart once again to remind us there's a lot of attractive fountains, a lot of attractive wells out in the world. But if you'll drink of them, you'll never have that deepest hunger satisfied. You'll drink and drink and destroy your life, but it's only when you partake of the water that Jesus gives that something is completed in your heart. Aren't you glad for the water that he gives? That out there will never, ever, ever satisfy. By their own admission, this will seem ancient to our young people. Some of you will know what I'm talking about, but in my time, one of the biggest rock groups used to sing, Can't Get No Satisfaction. And that's just the way it is when you drink of the waters of this world. It's only Jesus that can satisfy the soul. Jesus making clear that she had tried earthly things, but they had not satisfied her heart's desire. I didn't go into it, but why was this woman avoiding the other women of the village? By all indication, we're going to find out she had lived a pretty sordid past, a promiscuous past. I mean, she had lived it up in the world's standards. She had lived the Hollywood life that's portrayed on television today. But Jesus knew she was not satisfied. Jesus answered her, we just read that. Let's move on. What he did is he contrasted partaking of earthly things with partaking of the spiritual water that would satisfy. Now that did pique the woman's interest. She said unto him, Sir, give me this water, but she still wants to make it material. Then I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I'll never have to face those wagging tongues again if you give me an artesian, put it right in my front yard, and I won't even have to make the trip down here to the well. And there's still folks that would like to use spiritual things for material profit well-being. We've trained a church world in America talk about living water, and they immediately translate it into some kind of material, bless me, personal kind of thing rather than a spiritual thing. We've turned the gospel into come to Jesus, he'll make you rich, give you a great job, get you a promotion. That's what this lady was doing. She was trying to take the spiritual and turn it into some kind of personal material profiting. I won't have to come here to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. What a switch. We're talking about water. The woman says, Give me this water. And what did Jesus say? You want the water? Go call thy husband. And we could get into the protocol during the day. If you were going to talk to a woman, you would talk to her through her husband. But it's more than that. Jesus has bridged the gap. He's gotten her interest. Jesus has appealed to and piqued her spiritual desire. But the only thing that can meet that spiritual desire is God. Now, here's the issue. Jesus has got her wanting God, so now he has to deal with what keeps her from God. And that's why he said, go call thy husband. She's wanting God. She has spiritual desire now. It's awakened. But let's deal with what keeps you from God. And what is that thing that keeps us from God? It is sin. Your sins have separated between you and God. So now Jesus is going to deal with her sin. Now notice he didn't start there. I've seen people try evangelism that way. You horrible, reprobate, wicked sinner. I've come to tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. I've just heard him call them names. Notice Jesus did not begin and say, you prostitute going to hell. He had her spiritual interest. Then he dealt with her sin. And then he did it. Notice how smooth is probably not a good word. But notice how sensitive that he did it. Go call thy husband. He didn't say you're a fornicator, adulteress. He said go call your husband. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. You didn't even bother marrying him. In that saidest thou truly. I used to feel sorry for this woman. Five different men abandoned her. Five different men betrayed her. And then I got to thinking about that. There must be something wrong with a woman that five different men couldn't live with. How many agree? I mean, something's wrong with the woman. And we know what's wrong. She hasn't let Jesus meet her deepest desires. We're hard on people like that sometimes. We forget that what they're really trying to do is to meet their spiritual desire. At some point before people receive the good news, they must hear the bad news about themselves. And I don't want to get on a rabbit trail, but that's why I have to take such exception to the new packaging of the gospel in America that tries to appeal to people, come to Christ, he'll make everything better. From what I understand of the gospel, people got to know that they're lost before salvation appeals to them. And sin is why we're lost. And that's what Jesus was doing. You've got to hear the bad news. The woman says, "Sir, wow, you knew that? You knew I had five husbands." You've got to understand, think from her perspective. Here's a man she never met, and he knows her history. God still knows our history. And so she said, "Sir," well, she's got the gift of discernment. "I perceive that you're a prophet." No kidding. I mean, that's none of that funny stuff some of these evangelists work out. I mean, Jesus was specific. He said, let me see here. You see, you've had a husband in the past, haven't you? Yes. Now, let me see. A number's coming to me. It looks like three. She's shaking her head. Oh, no. Four. No. Oh, let me see. Look. Oh, yeah, it's coming. It's five. It was none of that play around stuff. He knew it exactly. "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now, here she goes again trying to get the conversation off track. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that..." I just read that. Okay, I'm repeating myself. Again, the woman was trying to divert the attention from her sin to a theological argument. But Jesus didn't let it happen. He begins to talk about true worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus brings the discussion right back to the woman's need, and that there is help for her if she will come. She wants to argue Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim. He said, "No, let's not have that argument, because now we're living in a time we don't need a specific place. Anybody who is willing with their spirit to reach out to God can lay hold of him." And I just want to pause and say, aren't you glad we don't need anything between us? We don't need a priest. We don't need beads. We don't need anything between us. It's not about a physical medium. We with our soul can reach out in spirit and lay hold of God. And that's what he's saying. It's your spirit. The woman again says, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things." The woman tries to put off getting things right to a later time. In other words, she says, "Later, Jesus, later. I'll wait till the Messiah gets here. Then I'll get things right." And by the way, you will encounter that over and over. People that are convicted, God is dealing with them. They get to that spot and they want to put it off. "I'll take care of it later." She said, "Wait till the Messiah gets here." Oh, think of this. "But Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." Think of that. A declaration. If you read through the Gospels, and because of the climate and waiting to get to the cross, Jesus did not go around declaring his messiahship. But to a woman who came in shame to a well, he said to this bad woman, "I am the Messiah." Isn't that the kind of God that we serve? People we might have even given up on, but he'll come to them, even for one, and say, "I am he whom you seek." Oh, hallelujah. What a gospel we have. I am he. Hallelujah. Jesus brings it all to a point. "I am whom you are seeking." And never forget, it's Jesus people are seeking. You've heard me say this a lot, but I want to say it one more time, just from the youth on around. The biggest indictment against Christians is that they say Jesus is the answer, and then they go seeking for things out in the world to satisfy. If Jesus is the answer, we don't seek else. I said, if Jesus is the answer, we don't seek elsewhere. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. See, they're still into this religious thing. Yet no man said to her, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Evidently, the disciples had not seen the need to witness to anyone in the town, or they'd still be tied up in town. But they're ready to condemn the one that was doing the witnessing. I'll just leave that there. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that, look at the change. I am he. And she believed it in a moment. That's my Messiah. You know what? When she believed, she took the water from him. Now the water's an artesian well springing, and she's running through a village. Look what she's doing. I've always marveled at this. She's sneaking out to the well at a time so nobody would see her or talk about her. Now she's running back into the village, and the elders are always sitting there, the men, the judges. They're sitting there, and she runs past them, and she stops. She said, you got to see him. There's a man out there that went through the list of my sin. He told me every bad thing I did. How come she was so excited about somebody telling her about her sin? Because he had also forgiven her sin and cleansed her of the sin. Where'd the shame go? She'd been forgiven. Hallelujah. What a gospel that we have. The woman believes and immediately becomes a soul winner herself. Amen. So once you believe that, God will set up a divine appointment. There'll be someone there Saturday that God has arranged for your path. You say, well, why don't I just go to the one house? Well, it's kind of, Jesus did say it's kind of like fishing. Hey, man, I wish you, I could tell you're going to catch a fish every time you throw the line in. But I will tell you something. If you're not throwing the line in, you'll never catch any fish. Amen. So let me give you us some quick directions for Saturday. This won't be comprehensive. I'll share a little bit more on Saturday. But before going, pray. I really believe this. We need to pray. And I'm not even going to talk about our need of the Holy Spirit that comes through prayer. Pray. Pray for those that you're going to be talking to. Get your materials together. I'll have materials here. I've got door hangers. I've got invitation cards. I've got tracts. I'll have prospect cards, things. Get your materials together. Review your testimony. You say, I know how I got saved. I'm talking about in your mind, just pray it and get it in your heart again. And I'm referencing Sunday night. The best way to share the faith is to share what God has done for you and go over it in your mind once again, what God has done for you. And then read some scriptures. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it's the Word of God that gets a hold of people's heart. So refresh or look up scriptures that would apply to sharing the gospel. You may think you know John 3:16 until you get in the heat of a moment and you're nervous and everything. But look up scriptures that talk about whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe with thine heart the Lord Jesus, and that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So look up some scriptures and have those ready. Dress casual and neat. You say, why do you even address this? Because I was always of the persuasion that if it had to do with church, and I know we want, because we want to give God our best, then we need to be dressed in our best. I mean, my first baptism, I left my suit jacket on. It just felt more spiritual. I don't know if anyone remembers that, but I thought it was more. And so when we go do door to door, and back then, you know, everything I had was plain colors, and it was either black, navy blue, or gray. Still pretty much that way. And I'd get out there with my tie and someone with me, and I noticed people down here weren't talking to me. I couldn't get them to open up. And finally, one of them just told me, he said, are you sure you guys aren't FBI or something? He said, nobody wants to talk to you. They're afraid you're the law. And so from that point on, I just went casual. And I didn't say sloppy, just casual. When you approach the door or the person, maybe you'll encounter someone on the street, have just one do the speaking, and we're going to be partners. Jesus sent them out two by two. We're going to have partners, and we'll try to partner folks in a way that will be helpful to everyone. But just one should do the speaking. If a child answers the door, ask for the adult, can I speak to your mommy or daddy? And I can't think of a way to ask this that you're not going to get into any kind of possible difficulty. you know, they used to ask for the man of the house or the woman of the house, or, you know, a lot of folks don't live with mom and daddy, so it's not in a good way, but ask for the adult is what I'm trying to say. Introduce yourselves, and here's just an easy way to introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Joe, and this is Bill, and we're from Union Pentecostal Church, and that's one of the churches just up the road. I usually say that, just up the road here. And if you're down in the Drexel area, it's the church that sends out Old Blue, you know, the big blue bus. Just make that point. And then move into this. We are looking for those that don't have a church home and for those that haven't heard about Jesus. You say everybody in America has heard about Jesus. No, I dealt with someone on the phone just recently that was contemplating suicide, and I asked him, I said, did you ever go to church a few times when I was a kid? Do you know the story of Jesus? Not really. Couldn't tell you anything about it. But that's what we're there. That's what canvassing is doing. We're there to locate people who don't have a church home or those that have never heard about Jesus. Be positive. Be positive. I've knocked on the door and Ryan comes to the door. Hi, I'm from Union Pentecostal Church. You probably wouldn't want to come to our church, would you? That's... Now, we're laughing, but I guess it's nerves. A lot of people have ended up saying that. I mean, I even debated even saying it because it'd be in your mind now, you know. Pastor Hurst said, say you wouldn't want to come to our church. Comment, now this cannot be fake, but comment complimentarily about something if possible. That's a cute baby. Wow, those flowers are really nice. This is the same thing Jesus was doing when he said, give me to drink. You're entering their world. Okay, it's got to be genuine. Don't speak disparagingly about their church if they claim to have one. Everybody's got a church. We're out looking for folks that don't have a church. Oh, I have one. Oh, you do? Great. Where do you go to church? What is the name of that? Well, it's... I think it's over this. No, let's see. It's down that. What? I just can't think. Okay. Let's try that. Maybe that's just general. Do you know where you go to church? Let me hear it. See, if you go to church, you know the name of it, right? Okay. But many have found that's a way to put you off. They say they have a church, and this happens over and over. How many's been there? You know what I'm talking about. They say they have a church. They do not know that. But if they tell you the name of the church, don't speak disparagingly. Don't say, ooh, that's a false doctrine church. Or oh, you know, that one will send you to hell. Because, why? It's because that won't help you reach them. You immediately put them on the defensive. Say, oh, you already go to church? Which one? If they can't tell you, say, oh, okay. So if you go to church, then you know about Jesus then, don't you, and how to be born again. And many times right there is where some of them have broken down. And they'll say something like, no, not much. And that gives you an opportunity. But if they're adamant, they're a faithful churchgoer, don't stay there and say, well, oh, you go to such and such a church, they don't believe in this, and get in an argument with me. If you can tell they regularly go to church, leave the materials if they'll take them, and say, great, that's great, you go to church, thank you, and move on. We're there to find those that don't have a church home and who are open to the gospel. And then, as you're there, share the good news. Share the good news if you can have the opportunity. Just questions will help so much. Have you heard the story about Jesus? If they say no, say, could I share with you? Have you heard how you can live forever? Can I share that with you? And if you get to this point, this is a great question to ask them. Just say, you know, you're not trying to be scary or anything, but just say, hey, could I ask you a question? If you were to pass away, and we hope that doesn't happen, and suddenly you'd be find yourself standing in heaven before the gates, and God asks you why he should let you in, what would your answer be? You'd be surprised how that really gets them to thinking. And some of them will say, well, I guess because I'd give the shirt off my back to somebody in need, or because I got baptized when I was 5. And give them time to share, and then you can say, you know what the Bible says? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And we're not here pushing a church or a church doctrine. We're here to let folks know that only through accepting Christ is their salvation. So share the good news. Don't get caught up in theological debates defending the church. Well, those churches are a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, and all the people out in the world, there's no hypocrites out there? You like to say that, but that doesn't accomplish anything, right? Okay, don't get into all that. We're there to share the gospel. Don't try to force them to hear. You're talking through the crack in the door. They've had enough. They're pulling the door shut. You grab the door, put a foot up on the jamb, and you're going to listen to me, buddy. I'm here to tell you about it. We can't do that, okay? I'm of the opinion, as I read the gospel, Jesus never forced anybody to hear the gospel that didn't want to hear it. And you say, well, what if they don't ever hear? Well, when someone tries that approach, it'll so turn them off, they're likely never to want to hear. But if we respond with meekness and humility and the Spirit of Christ another time, if they mention a special need, ask if you can pray with them about it. I've thought a lot about this for years, and this has really been a way that people have been, they may have just told you they don't believe in Jesus. They may be drinking. You can smell the alcohol in their breath. But sometimes you can say, would you have any need that we could pray with you about? It may not be just spiritual need. It may be someone in their family sick. And if they mention it, maybe they just mention it, you know, my husband's been in bed sick all day. And you could just say, hey, would you mind if we just said a word of prayer for your husband right now? The Lord will touch him. God knows how to move. You know that? Hand them an invitation and ask if you can leave them a tract that explains further. Be careful about invitations to enter the home. What I mean by this, we're living in different times and there's dangerous situations. And there may be times it is perfectly okay. This is where, you know, at least one of the partners needs some judgment here to enter people's homes. But for most of the time, be very careful about entering a home, especially our young people. You just say, that's fine, let's just talk here. There's just too many compromising and bad situations to be in. So be careful about that. If there are children, share about our bus coming around and ask the children if their children would like to come. We're also having sidewalk Sunday school. And the Drexel in Jefferson Township, that's because that's the only places right now we have our vehicles going. Afterwards, if there was an interest, a special need, or openness to the gospel, fill out a prospect card. We'll have prospect cards. We'll explain those briefly on Saturday. And then afterwards, pray for those. Lord, you know that one I talked to today. Deal with him. Long after you're gone, if you're praying, the Spirit of the Lord can still be working. Amen. And then follow up, either yourself or we have folks that'll do that. Follow up and get to those and share the gospel. Amen. It's exciting. I told you Sunday night, it's so true. If you want to revitalize your faith, share it with somebody else. And I can honestly say that some of the greatest times of my life were not speaking at the big meeting, but when I led somebody to Jesus on the street, at their house, in a hospital room, at school. Those are some of the greatest memories I have, because God felt so real. The one that sat on the well was right there with that person that I was talking to. Hallelujah. How many is ready to let the Lord do the work? Amen. You know, it's easy to know the work needs done, but to think that we can't do it. But we can. It's just people reaching people. That's all it is. You know, one of the things I like to say at the door, and I'll quit, maybe. I like to say at the door is, hey, we're folks just like you. And Paul reminded us of that. He talked about all those wicked people out in the world. We got a problem here, guys, if you can kill it for me. Paul said of all the... We're going to have to find a way to block that. They're working on that diligently. Okay. He said, and such were some of you. And so that meant before they got saved, those folks were just like those they're trying to reach. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't be like Moses. Hear my Lord, send Aaron. Say, God, I'm willing to go. Let me tell you this. It's not too spiritual. It's just one of my memories from door to door. And you know how we're so eager for somebody else to do it. But my partner and I, we had been down this little cul-de-sac, and I can still see the house over here. We knocked on the door. And this guy answered the door, and he's huge. He's taller than I am. And he's one of these guys that worked out, and he had on one of those, you know, T-shirts. I mean, he's bulked out, and he answered the door. And I said, "Hi, you know, we're from Bible Holiness Church, and we're here to share the gospel." He heard just enough to know why we was there, and he looked at us, and he went like this, and he pointed his finger in our face, and he said, "If you don't get off my lawn right now, I'm going to pound you into it." I guarantee I didn't do this. Well, it was just a short walk up to the van. We got to the van. Here comes this other couple, this two other partners. And I approached them and I said, "You know, there's a guy down there that's so close to getting saved. He really needs the Lord." And I said, "Knowing your testimony, you'd be just the one to share with." "Well, which house is it?" "It's that one down there." And they went down there, but right before they got there, the guy came out and got in his car and left. Probably good for me. And I just shared that because we're always willing to let somebody else handle it. Right? But it's got to come down to, "Lord, you can and you will use me." Hallelujah. It's a simple, look how the simple thing Jesus did. "Give me a drink. Could I have a drink, please?" Let's stand. Father, thank you for your people, their hunger and desire to do your will. Now, Lord, enable us. Set up those divine appointments. Help us to believe that they're there. Touch hearts. Change hearts. Work through us, Lord. We're just instruments. We're just vessels. We're just channels. Lord, may your Spirit do the work through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'd like to talk to God about this and just let him strengthen you and give you guidance that goes way beyond what I can do tonight, why don't you come and fill the altars and say, "Lord, I truly am concerned about those that don't know you, and I'm willing to let you use me." Yeah, come ahead, music. I'm willing to let you use me. I want to be that instrument. You'll speak through me. You'll enable me. You'll give me the power and the ability. Lord, just use me, Lord. Amen. Just open up your heart. He'll move through you tonight with his Spirit. He'll strengthen you and give you the ability. Hallelujah. Would you seek him? Would you seek him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Seek him. Just believe it. You can be the one that leads someone to the Lord. You can see someone's eternity changed. Don't say someone else. Someone else. No, you can. You can be that one. You can share the gospel. We're not pushing ourselves. We're not even pushing our church. We're talking about Jesus and the difference that he can make, the change that he can make. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Touch your people.